Chapter 38. The Fire of the Holy Spirit. You will know that every action we carry out is based on the nature of the astral sphere, of the astral force which enables us to perform this action. If there were complete harmony between all of us, and if consequently that harmony were present in all our magnetic systems, we would all cause similar magnetic currents, and so keep each other in balance. However, the magnetic systems are disturbed, and the macrocosm feeding these currents is undivine. This causes our needs to differ. We thwart each other, and so we face each other in fundamental, biological, and hence structural hostility, and we unintentionally cause resistance. Even where we face each other as pupils in our spiritual school. Everyone will understand that the pupil is required every day to have pure aims, to have the concentration and use of pure, clean forces, to be able to break up the resistance in order to make his way through life. Even if you were to be the most modest person and go your way through life with the greatest timidity, you would still be guilty of nature magic, because there will always be situations in which, and because of which, you will be forced to act. It is therefore important to know that whenever you use a concentration of astral force, no matter how, this will have an earthbinding and destructive effect. You will feel that in such a situation there can never be any question of goodness. Social and moral good is always linked to evil. How true appear the words of the Christ, "No one is good but God alone." Indeed, you can probably also imagine the lament of Nicodemus, "Lord, who can be saved?" It is quite a frightening problem. It is urgently necessary to drive the awareness of this oppressive problem into the heart of your soul, for we need to solve these things in the short term. We repeatedly draw your attention to the fact that time is pressing for a radical, far-reaching change of your entire mode of life. If the spiritual school of the Golden Rosy Cross is to achieve any real meaning in your life, if your striving as a pupil on the path is to show any liberating prospects, it is time that you too ask yourself, "Lord, who can be saved?" No one is good but God alone. No one is good if he is judged according to the nucleus being of the nature of death. Good born of this essence can never build and realize adequately. The works of this goodness are three-dimensional and therefore finite. No matter how cultivated our goodness, no matter how heart, head, or soul warming, it remains earthbound, bound to the essence of death. The measure of this goodness differs between individuals. This goodness will always cause you to experience a limitation, a crisis. And time and again, the brotherhood of life invites you and draws you up to that all-encompassing other. Every brother and every sister who wants to go the liberating path, therefore, has to make himself ready for his or her ascension. Surely you will agree that there is a solution to every problem of life. If there were no solution, why would the chain of the brotherhood have approached the work fields of the young Gnosis? The solution to the problem of life is not just a philosophical one, but first of all requires a seriously directed mode of life and a corresponding behavior. The brotherhood of life descends to every pupil, who then needs to turn towards the Gnostic astral field through the process of purification. If he does so, in deep longing, the emotional person will become inwardly tranquil. The temperamental person will begin to control himself, and in pure directedness, they will learn to become still and to listen. They will listen so carefully that they will begin to understand what Nicodemus did not understand because he thought he already knew it all. In the days around Pentecost, our thoughts are drawn to the fire of the Holy Spirit. How does this fire work in the human being? In the first instance, the Holy Spirit descends through the holy breath. The forces of the Holy Spirit enter the respiration field through the fire of grace. These forces fill the chambers of the pulmonary system. Next, they enter the blood, and if the blood has attained sufficient consciousness, this causes a new knowing in the head sanctuary, a new sixfold sensory perception, which emanates from the person like flames, like tongues of fire. When Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, "Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it," he means that the fire of the day will disclose it. The day always discloses whether a person is living out of the power structures of the Gnostic astral field, or whether he is being lived by and in the fire of the world of dialectics. Today, humanity lies cast down in the hell of this development, tortured by the infernal fire. It is probably clear to you that this state of torture, because of the properties and the contrasts of this nature, is everlasting as long as human beings wander around in the world of dialectics. Every state of suffering can be followed by even worse suffering. Rising and falling can be discerned in this world. There is a rising that can give you joy and gratitude, but in your wanderings here in matter, have you ever known a joy? Have you ever known a gratitude which was unqualified and was not followed by an inevitable decline? How is all this suffering experienced? Why is it born and fought? Why does it carve such deep traces in the human being? It happens through fire. All your experiences, every single experience, comes about through astral fire. It is that astral fire that enables the human being to live. It is also that astral fire that enables the mortal soul to live. That astral fire maintains the human eye. If the human being takes pride in his eye and places his eye in the center of everything he does, he proves that he lives by the infernal fire. The day will always disclose it. Can a person determine this for himself? Yes, that is possible. Every mortal being will always be able to do this, for everything that is disclosed by the fire of this world will sooner or later cause pain and anguish, and will not give satisfaction, but make hunger and thirst more violent and intense. Myths and legends tell us that in the realms of hell, beside unbearable suffering, there is a continuous war, so horrendous and appalling that even an author like Dante was unable to describe it. Conflict is caused by suffering, by hunger and thirst. Suffering, sorrow, and deprivation cause a person to take leave of his senses, and in this insanity, he throws himself upon others in order to attack them and harm them in like manner. It is good to understand that there are national leaders who know the social needs of humanity and try to put an end to them in order to make conflict impossible in this way. This is a very good idea and is worthy of realization as much as possible in this nature. But the causes of suffering, hunger, and thirst in this world will never be removed. The fire will keep burning. Sisyphus and the barrel of the Danaids prove it, until the human being begins to live, work, and strive out of the fire of divine grace. When the place of construction has been purified sufficiently in this striving, on this way of the cross, the immortal soul will be born as the very first gain of renewal. Psalm 16:10 says of such a soul, "For thou dost not give me up to Sheol, or let thy godly one see the pit." And in Psalm 18:4, 6 and 17 we read, "The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of perdition assailed me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, he delivered me from my strong enemy." Whoever is able to arouse the new soul state through the breath of the holy fire has been delivered from hell. He can ascend from purgatory and sing, "In the four courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of thee, O new fatherland, O Jerusalem, hallelujah, yes, amen."